You know, it's Valentine's Day, and we're all the time giving men advice on how to understand women. And is any man here that understands women completely? Okay. All right, I thought I'd trick a couple of the stupid ones to raise their hand. Now, Daniel put his hand up, and I asked Daniel this morning, I said, well, have you gotten a new girlfriend? No, dog, no. Maybe if he start wearing some man cologne, he would get him a girlfriend. All right, but since we're all the time trying to help the guys, today we're going to help the ladies a little bit on some things that men say that you need another interpretation for, okay? All right, okay? So you ladies, are you ladies ready to learn today? Okay, here we go. When he says, it's a guy thing, what he really means is, there's no rational thought pattern connected with it, and you have no chance at all of making it seem logical. Okay? When he says, can I help with dinner? That being translated means, why isn't it already on the table? And when he says, sure, honey, yes, dear, that means absolutely nothing is a complete conditioned response to make it look like he's listening. It would take too long to explain. Has he ever said that to you? All right, that means I have no idea how that thing works. When he says, take a break, honey, you're working too hard. That means I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner right now. And when he says, well, that's real interesting, dear, what that really means, are you still talking? Yes, I should have. It's getting a little too close to home here. I'm having to edit some of these out. They're quite personal. When he says, I can't find it, that means, it didn't fall into my outstretched hand, so I'm completely clueless. And when he says, what did I do this time? That really means, what did you catch me doing this time? And finally, the last one, you're supposed to clap. Okay. We can share the housework. That means I'll make the mess and you clean it up. Can I get a witness, ladies?
Amen.
All right. Huh? Yeah, I gave you the interpretation. Now I'm looking for somebody. Let's see, who am I looking for? Come on up here, Bobby. Bobby Forrester, come on up here. Come on. This has nothing to do with Valentine's Day, I can tell you. So you're okay. But you were already okay anyway, weren't you? Come on up here and stand before everybody right here. Here's your microphone. Here's your microphone. Now, every Sunday, on the back of our bulletin is a list of these things called life groups. Bobby, how long have you been in a life group?
Pretty much ever since we started them.
And how long has that been, approximately?
Well, since we've been here, what, 10 years?
About 10 years. Okay. Can in a couple of phrases, what does life group mean to you? Why do you do this every week?
By definition, it's life. It's a life group. You know, you're not going to share with people like you do at church here, because we only see y'all once a week. And when we go to life group with Terry and Jason, and you know, we've got other people that are we consider part of our life group, like McConnell's too. But we open up, we share. You know, we're real. We're real with each other. We tell things the way it is, what's really going on in our lives, and it's really good.
Do you open the Bible at all?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And Terry makes sure of that. Yeah. Hey, he's the comic relief.
Nice save, dog. Nice save. All right. Well, do you pray with one another?
Yep.
And what is that like? How's that different? How is praying in that setting different from praying, say, in a large group like here?
Well, it's more personal.
Okay. And how so? What makes it more personal?
Well, the wart I had on my big toe, I can have Terry pray for. I'm not going to tell you all about, although I just did. But, you know what I'm talking about. It's just much more personal. It's more, you know, it's like family. It's like really like family. And there's a lot of people in this church to me that are closer than my own blood family, you know. And that's where you meet these people, is at life group.
If you had to give one word of encouragement for, say, people who maybe have not been able to get involved in one yet, what would you say to them today?
Just do it.
All right. Let's give him a big hand. Completely impromptu. Right, Bobby? Completely. Come on down. Today, I'm going to have to tell you how to get rich overnight. Who wants to know how to get rich overnight? Okay. Now, I want you to get your Bible ready, and I want you to, if you got a, in our bulletin each week, reason why we leave this little blank part here, and by the way, we do put the date on it, because some of you now have gone to restaurants where you tried to give them the bulletin to get a reduction in your meal price for the day. It didn't have a date, and they refused it. So we have the date on it for you, but that blank spot is for you to write down some notes. I'm going to cover a lot of scriptures today, and the reason why I want you to have your pen and that ready so you can write them down and go back and read them later. Now, if you're real fast looking things up in the scripture, then you may not have to do that, but you'll have the opportunity. How can you get rich overnight? The Bible tells you how you can do it. Now, there's all sorts of plans out there, right? If you turn the TV on and you have any kind of cable or satellite broadcasting at about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, that's all it is advertising on how to get a deal on this or how to get rich overnight. Now, state of Georgia would tell you need to buy more lottery tickets. But the pastor would tell you, don't waste your money on lottery tickets. God has a better way. Now, all sorts of ways. Now, by the way, through the 90s and on up into the early 2000s, we saw people in this country making money right and left, right? What happened? Bottom fell out of our economy. That's right. In fact, it wasn't just ours. It was in the whole world. And we're still trying to get some handles on that. and how to work through that. But, you know, how many people's 401k became a 201k? And a 101k? You know, you think about it. A lot of things have changed. A lot of those quick ways to make money, the money came in quickly, but then maybe it's gone out quickly also. But today, I'm going to tell you how to get rich overnight. Through a series of discoveries. First thing, number one, you need to discover who your real daddy is. Here's what the scripture says. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. Anyone who welcomes you is welcoming me. And anyone who welcomes me is welcoming the Father who sent me. Who spoke that? Jesus. He's talking about His Father. His Father. Father God. Have you welcomed Him as your daddy? How many of those stories have you seen? You know, dating back in literature, you can go back hundreds of years in literature all over the world and find stories of a child who grows up maybe not knowing who their daddy is and suddenly discovers that their daddy is the king or some a person who has a lot of money, and suddenly, overnight, they become wealthy in the world's way of looking at it. But what kind of wealth am I talking about here? To discover who your daddy is. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about a relationship with God. I heard an interview this week where a younger person was given testimony of through the interview of how this other person had saved their life. We've heard a number of those, and with cameras being everywhere now and our access to media, it's amazing the things that will appear sometimes on TV and radio and on the net. This person was saying, "That person saved my life. I wouldn't be here today." And I started thinking, but how long does that life last? The life you're living right now, in this world, this physical life, how long will it last? Well, will it last 60 years, 70, 80, 100? Till Jesus comes. But how long will eternal life? And what if you really had the perspective and you understood and could understand for others how important it is that God wants us to live forever with Him? Then you'd understand how important it is to know who your daddy is. God wants to be your daddy. Through His Son Jesus, who comes into our lives. And suddenly, a person that's been away from God, bound, the Scripture says, it's not we're going to go to hell. We are already headed in that direction unless there is an event, unless there's an intervention. That's what Jesus did. When He died on the cross, He intervened in our behalf. He came. And He gave the opportunity for all of us to be with Him forever. So, to quote a popular question, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? First way, the primary way you can become wealthy immediately with all that God has forever is to have Him living in you. Do you have Him? Have you done business with him? I'm not talking about do you have religion. Religion is man's way of getting to God. I'm talking about have you let Jesus come into you? And as he said here, if you have me, you have the Father. Second discovery, if you want to get rich overnight, is to discover how he made you. In Genesis chapter 1, Scripture says, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our own image to be like ourselves. They'll be masters over all life, the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, wild animals, small animals. So God created people in his own image. And he patterned them after himself, male and female. He created them. Note that. And by the way, the next time, any of you ladies grate on the fact that he's that man is different. Why can't he be? Well, God made him that way. Male and female. He created them. And God blessed them. And he told them, multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and be masters over the fish and birds and all the animals. Second discovery, where you can become wealthy, is discover how he made you. You see, he made you special in his own image. What does that mean? You know, the sanctity of human life, that we're not like the other animals of the earth, all the other creation. God created us on a separate day of creation. And on that day, he didn't just say it was good. What did he say? Do you know? He says, very good. Very good. That's what God thinks of you. Very good. Special. Special. How many little children in Savannah, Georgia are going to grow up and not know how special they are? How many? Is that right? Is that right? You know, and when we get around the throne of God, is it going to matter what part of town you lived in? Is it going to matter how much money you had? Is it going to matter what your race happened to be? Is it going to matter what political party you had? Are any of those things going to matter around the throne of God? No! He's made us special. That's a discovery. That's a discovery every person needs to make. You instantly get wealthy overnight when you come to see yourself in that way. Third discovery. Discover how he wired you. Psalm 139, verse 14. You've heard it many times. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. King James says, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Know the passage? It's a passage that is used as very often we use that to refer to the sanctity of life, of human life, and from the time of conception in the womb. How about when you discover how God's wired you? Your personality. Doug Dorman, who used to be one of our pastors here in Savannah, they have 7 kids. When their 6th child, Karis, was born, beautiful little girl, little Karis, she had the world by the tail, you know. and you couldn't get peep out of her a lot of times. You know, she just wouldn't have anything to do with, you know, like a lot of the caboose children. You know, they've been spoiled in a lot of ways. They've gotten everything, the youngest, all that goes on with that. And I remember little Karis, and I remember she wouldn't have anything to do with me whatsoever. And we were in a life group together until Lottie was born. The next child. I told Doug and Joan many times, I said, Karis's personality was discovered overnight. Boom! Immediately, she came out of her shell with this wonderful little personality that she's still like that. We saw him a few weeks ago. Suddenly, there was some competition, but she came out of that. She came out of that shell, and people around her discovered who she really was. I want to ask you today, are you being who you really are? Now I'm not talking about, are you just sharing all your gripes and complaints all the time? That's not what I'm asking you. You know, a person said, well, that's what it means, that I can just be who I am. I'm not talking about being a grouse. I'm talking about, are you really being the person God created you to be? With all He's made you to be. Are you letting that come out, or are you living a lie? Are you going down some road just because maybe someone else is forcing you, or you feel like that, down that road? Number four, fourth discovery. If you're going to get rich overnight, you need to discover what and who God has given you. Scripture says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, all Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. A gift He has given to every one of us that should make us wealthy overnight is the gift of His Spirit. Now what does that mean? That means that God has chosen to live in me and you. What you're looking at today, as I'm walking back and forth up here, is not a 55-year-old, overweight, middle-aged man who's out of shape. Right, Logan? You try to remind me of that all the time. Thank you, son. What you're looking at is the house of God. And when you look at yourself in the mirror, you go home today, you're looking at the tabernacle of God. He has chosen to live in you. That's one of the mysteries of the Old Testament. The mystery of revelation, that God would come and tabernacle with men, and not just with men, but in. That He would give to us His Spirit. That He would baptize us in His Spirit. Immerse us in His Spirit. Now, does that make you wealthy overnight when you discover that? Suddenly, you discover a powerhouse you never knew you had. Another discovery about that, about what He's given us, is not only does He give us His Spirit, but He gives us gifts. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. By the way, at this church, we don't separate out certain gifts and say they're not for today. When we read the New Testament, and we read in Romans it talks about gifts, and in 1 Corinthians it talks about gifts, in Ephesians it talks about gifts, and many other places in the Scripture, gifts are referred to, gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many of them are for today, right now?
All of them.
The sign gifts, the garden variety gifts, the everyday gifts, the ones that have splash, and the ones that are in the background carrying the load. All of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each one of us as a means of helping the entire church. Now, when we read that Ephesians passage, what you understand later on in Ephesians 4 is that God gifts us, He changes us, gives us His Holy Spirit. He gives us gifts, and all of us have at least one. And by the way, they're not static. That means He can take them away and He can give more. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it says, desire earnestly spiritual gifts, and especially that you can prophesy. Speak forth the Word of God as He reveals that to you. So there's a scriptural commandment. It's in the imperative mode. It means that's something you need to be doing, asking God for more. Why? So you can be more useful in His kingdom. To use all these put in your hand. So all of us have at least one spiritual gift. And why don't we have more? You have not because you? And when you ask amiss. Wrong motives. So with a pure heart, we need to come before God and say, God, I want more gifts. Not so I can consume them on myself, but so I can be a gift to others, because that's His reason for gifting us. He gifts us, and then He throws us back into the body. He throws us back into the world to be His people with His gifts. Let me tell you, sidelight, I'll preach on this another day. One of the discoveries that I would love to see the American church make is that church isn't right here. That church is out there. In the world, every day. We don't need more meetings. We don't need more of the coffee klatch kind of idea church. We need more of the church in society, in recreation, at the workplace, in government. We need to be the church in those places. Being the body. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand me? I know some of you are still uptight with me from a couple of weeks ago when I said I didn't believe in church softball teams. That's okay, but there's a better way. Go join a softball team that's got a bunch of people that don't belong to Jesus on it and be salt and light there and see if you can see some of them come to know Jesus by the end of the season. Do you get it? Okay. Oh, man, y'all are killing me. One of these days. What did Fred Sanford say, Elizabeth? One of these days. All right. Number 5. You're going to get rich overnight. You need to discover what God has put in your hand. Now, listen to me. What does He put in your hand? He's put the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's put the fruit of the Spirit. You being an evidence, exhibiting that fruit of God. He's put your talents. By the way, if you want any trim work done, see Sam later on. You ladies have been saying, man, that ugly concrete around that pass-through in the kitchen. Sam put that beautiful mold around there this way, using a talent God has given him. All right. What else does God put in your hand? Yeah, a lot of love. Everything you are and have. He's put your money. He's put your house. Your car. How much of it belongs to God? Let me ask that again. How much belongs to God? All of it. He's just letting us be a steward of it, because how much of it are you going to carry with you when you die? Okay. I've yet to see the hearse with a trailer hitch on it. It just doesn't exist. That lady called the office, you know, if somebody died. How much did he leave? And what was the answer?
All of it.
Okay. You got it. All of it. So, does God have access to all of it? Does he in your life? Can he put his hands on it without you squealing? Let's be honest now. Now, I want you to know my toes are kind of tender after the Holy Spirit doing a little tap dance on them about this message. Can he put his hands on all of it that you have? Now, when it comes to your money, one of the things he asks you that you show him on a regular basis that it all belongs to him. And what is that?
Tithe.
What does tithe mean? It means 10%. The first 10%, not the last, because all of it really belongs to him, doesn't it? Who gave you the ability to make the money you have? Who put you where you are? You know, right now, you could have very easily been one of the people who is looking for their family still in Port-au-Prince. Why has God put his blessing on you and me so that we can be a blessing to others? Do we have the capacity to do that? I was telling somebody the other day that they were asking me, said, do we ever have any money problems? John, do we ever have to stretch any dollars for the church? Till they squeal to try to cover it. But you know what? If five families here this morning, five of the families, just take an average, just pick an average income somewhere, whatever it is, just five more started tithing today. Just five. We'd eliminate a lot of sweat about where money is coming from. I just want to tell you that. That's true. And if we all tithed, we'd have to be looking for ways to invest God's money. Do you understand me? I know we don't like to talk about that. And if you're sitting here today and you say, Dusty, you seem to be talking about that a lot lately. Last two Sundays, third Sunday in a row that I've made one of my points about that. And the reason being, these are tough and difficult financial times. This is not the time to be disobedient to God. All right. How to get rich overnight. Number six, our last point. We need to discover where God has placed us. Where's he put you? Proverbs 3:6 says this, "Seek his will in all that you do, and he will direct your path." Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you as well. You know, see, it's in a lot of places. This exact idea is in a lot of places in the Scripture. Discover where He has placed you. Where do many of us want to be a lot of times? Somebody said it. Somewhere else. Have you had that thought recently? I got my hand up. Come on. You know, it's hard right here, God. It's tough right here. God, if you could just snatch me up and put me someplace else, maybe it wouldn't be so hard. Any of you experimented with that before in your life? Huh? Did changing the location help? That's right. You just drug all those problems somewhere else. Moved you. So, and that's not saying that God doesn't move us geographically. He does. But first and foremost, we need to discover where He has put us and look around us. Let me share with you a tough testimony in my own life. I left Savannah in 1976. Thank you. When we got married. That's right. Thank you. Boy, I'm making the points this morning. And we went to school. I said then, I said, Lord, I'm out for the big adventure. I'm leaving home. And Lord, I'm probably never going to come back here again. We finished school. We took a pastorate right back here in Savannah. God led us to do that. I know He did. 7 years in that pastorate. At the end of it, I remember saying to the Lord, okay, Lord, You've taken us away. And He did. He took us away. And I said to Him then, I said, Lord, I don't ever want to come back to Savannah. And please, God, don't put me in Macon, Georgia. Okay, now I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest. Now the second part of that, He didn't put me in Macon. He put me in Jones County, which is right next to Bibb County, which is where Macon is, and just let me go to Macon 5 times a week. And you know what? As I and a drunk laid out Macon on Saturday night. There's no way you could. One road I was on one day, my first week in Macon, it changed names 4 times before I got to where I was going. And I remember this prayer. I said, Lord, remember I said I didn't want to come to Macon. But You're here in Macon, Dusty. And what are You going to do about it? I wasn't thinking then about the other part of that prayer was, God, I like my city okay, where I was born, but I don't want to go back to Savannah. At the end of that time, we were there. God showed us clearly and plainly. We considered all manner of opportunities to go different, do different things. But at the end, He sharpened the end of His finger and He pointed right to Savannah, Georgia. And He said, this is where I want you. I'd never been on a fast before in my life. It's one of those things, I don't do things normally just to do them. I said, until God shows me what fasting is about, I'm not going to do it. And He led me to fast. And He showed us, Audrey and I, that we're to be here. You know what He's allowed me to do? To fall in love with my city, my place, to be here, to own it. Right after we moved here to plant the church, we'd been here about a year and a half, and we were struggling with it, you know, because everybody tells you, you know, you plant a church, boom, it's going to be like the guys in the books, you know, everybody's just going to start coming in, it's going to be great and wonderful and all that. Let me tell you, that isn't the way it works. It's hard work. It's sweat equity. It's blood, sweat, and tears. It's birthing babies, which I know nothing about. But I know by testimony. I got a call. Now, I've tried to the last few weeks be just as transparent with you folks as I know how to be, because I love you. But I get this call one day, and I remember where I was sitting at our counter at our house in Windsor Forest. Got on the phone. This guy wants to talk to me about this hotshot church in another city. Let me just tell you, it had been one of those opportunities that I would have killed for as a real young pastor. Big old church, you know. Can you see the big old ego starting to... Are you following me? And so I'm entertaining myself all the time saying, I know God has spoken to me. This is where I need to be. This is what it's about. Well, I'm entertaining that. And so I get on the phone. Audrey's working downtown at voter registration. I called her up. I said, hey, Dawn, guess who just called? She said, who? I told the guy about this opportunity. She said, oh, Dusty, God's just testing you. See if you're serious about planting this church. What time are you going to pick me up for lunch? The Word of God. And let me tell you, it sliced through my heart. I remember sitting there at the counter, bleeding right there. I mean, the fillet knife had just gone through my soul. At least let me entertain my ego a little bit longer with this thing. Come on. But no, the truth. It's supposed to set you free. And it did. Because you know what? It was that day, like the conquistadors, when I looked at my ship of retreat and I set it on fire. And I saw it burn to the spine. And I turned myself around. And I faced the jungle of the unknown, and I said, God, lead me. I will do what you tell me to do. Have I always done that? No. That's the desire of my heart. How do you get rich? Overnight, you bloom where God, in His sovereignty and in His infinite wisdom, has planted you. And let me ask you today, where has He planted you? And isn't it time to get busy with getting wealthy in the kingdom of God? Isn't it time? It's time to act accordingly. Who's your daddy? When you know who he is, and you know his heart. Wealthy. overnight. Let's bow our heads. Well, I don't know what you heard today. Wasn't exactly the message I planned to preach today. The altar's open. You want to come and respond to the Lord today. If you've never received Him into your life, today is the day you can begin a new life with your Father, having His Son as your Savior. Maybe it's time for you to do some business with God. Just be honest with Him. What's He speaking to you? What's He speaking to your heart? He wants to make you wealthy beyond measure, but wealthy by His definition, not yours. Are you wealthy in Him? Everything I've spoken of today cannot be taken away from you. Everything the world speaks of in regard to wealth can be taken away from you this afternoon. So what are you going to do about it? Lord, we give You this time. I know we've run long today, Lord, but God, I know You're speaking to us. On this wonderful day, this wonderful Lord's Day, we bless You. We give You honor and glory. There is no other, Lord. I thank You for the privilege of being Your servant, serving You in the earth, being a part of Your family at this time in history, be used by You, Lord, to be used in this city. Lord, You've got a design for Savannah, Georgia that we're not fulfilling in this city. There are many that have not yet claimed the name. There are many children that are going to go to bed tonight all worried about all sorts of things that little children aren't supposed to be worried about. They need the love of God. They need people that will care about them. Care enough to do something. God, I'm praying that today. I'm praying for Jesus to come into the homes of this city. And for our lives to be changed. We bless You today. As we open the altar now, Lord. Thank You.
God's put something on my heart today, and I'm sweating over here, so I guess I meant to say something about it. That's because she has to vacuum later, but no, I mean, you know, it's rare that, you know, being a member of the church here for 10 years or so, that I think I can count maybe on both hands, maybe a couple of toes, how many times over the last 10 years that we've talked about tithing or giving, or it's something that Dusty hasn't done and just doesn't do, but God wants that. I just want to share with you real quick. That's right. Amen. I want to share with you what God has done in my life with that, just real quick. And in Proverbs 3:9, it says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything that you produce. Then He will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine." In 2002, it was Terry's birthday, April 15th, tax day. We both got baptized on the same day. So, I don't know how to say this, but the first thing you had to do to become wealthy, like Dusty was saying this morning, was accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know how, ask anybody in this room. Dusty, Dane, me, Terry, any of the life group leaders, Rick. When I did that, when I had that outward sign, the baptism, my old self died, I rose up brand new. God hit me with a bonus at work for 9 straight months. He knew He could talk to me through my through my finances. And that was cool. Then I had lunch with some buddies of mine who would tell me about tithing. I said, whatever. They said, look, test God. He tells us, test me on this. They said, put some money in the nightstand. If you need it, take it out. and correct and stop me if I'm wrong, but if you tithe and you need it back, we'll give it back to you. But test them. So, you know, I started out, okay, well, I'll do 5%. Net gross, I don't know. It's what matters in here. But as I increased and as I got there, that was 6-7 years ago, I've made more money every single year. And God spoke to me through that. And now I'm taking that big leap of faith. Some of you know about my job change where I've gone from making this to nothing. But I'm putting it all in Him. I'm putting it all in Him. So I just, if you haven't done that, I just urge you to try it. Try it. It doesn't hurt. And God will bless you. It's really, really cool what He does. And He will fill those barns. I promise. No, he didn't ask. No. I was sitting over there sweating. I said, Dust, I think I'm supposed to say something here. So thank you.
God bless you. Did you hear from the Lord today? God spoken to you today? Okay. Well, let Him continue to speak to you this afternoon. And we're going to have a great opportunity on Saturday. When Val came to me and said, want to do this yard sale, the way I heard that was, all these people are going to be coming over here and I get to meet all of them and talk to them. So, walking in your gift, and being here. So be praying about that, and praying for us as the Lord continues to show us everything that we're going to do in Haiti, and leading Dr. O'Carey as he leads us. Let's pray, and we'll send you out in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for all the body that is here today, for needs that were not voiced today. We're praying over those. God, I'm asking you that you'll send us out now in your name and in your power and in your authority to be the hands and feet of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.